The opinions expressed in the following program are solely those of the host.
The following program may contain coarse language and is intended for an adult audience. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Climax Radio, the home of new music, hidden gems, and great talk to start your day with a bang. Spice up your long and boring commutes to and from work. Get excited again. Listen to Climax Radio in your car, on the bus, or riding the rails. And now, the hosts of Climax Radio, Magnum and Radio Free G.
What does this mean? It means we're live on the air, or podcast.
Podcast. We're live, delayed, on tape. Alrighty, so here it is, the very first historic and monumental episode of Climax Radio. I'm your host, Radio Free G, along with...
Magnum.
Can we go with Mr. Magnum for this show? I don't want people to get confused between your efforts on this show and your other show, TNM's Voices.
That's no problem. No problem.
Excellent, Mr. Magnum. Thank you.
So let me try that again. I am Mr. Magnum.
Mr. Magnum. It sounds beautiful. And we are bringing you this show because if you are listening to this show, you dislike commercial radio. And we can't stand it either. Mm. So we are going to bring you songs that we think you should listen to that are not played.
Definitely. It's just like radio, regular radio is just boring.
And it could be, you know, terrestrial, satellite, it doesn't matter. If you go to the website, climaxradioshow.com, you can read our manifesto, you can read the introduction to the show, and you can see exactly what we're all about. We are also going to try and break new music on this show. So if you have an indie band, if you're out there, we're broadcasting, we live in and around the Toronto area in Ontario, but we will take submissions from anywhere and everywhere. So all you have to do is send us a copy of the song that you want us to play on the show, send us a little history and bio of you and your band. You can send that to the email addresses, radiofreeg@gmail.com or
magnum@sureshotmedia.com.
And you get those to us, and we will put out the shows. We don't really have a production schedule right now, but we're not going to put out one show and then have people wait months for the next one. We're going to be putting them out fairly regularly. You will see the advertising, and of course, we need you to send the links along to all of your friends, because we're trying to build a community here.
Yeah, that's right. And to our emerging artists out there, we'll post their info on the site so people can learn more. We'll post your website so people can go to the website and learn more about the band that they're listening to.
And of course, we have to get through a little bit of legalities here, because we are going to be playing full-length songs from artists, and we are not trying to, and I have to stress this, we are not trying to take money out of the hands of these artists that we are going to feature on the show. We are doing this because we want you to go out and actually purchase the music that we're going to play. I know that my CD collection, I mean, I'm a rock and roll guy. I've been buying CDs since they first started coming out, which I probably shouldn't say because I'm dating myself. But my CD collection is, you know, bordering on 1,000 at least. I have purchased every single CD that contains the songs that I'm going to play for my song list today. I'm sure the same goes for Mr. Magnum as well.
Definitely. I too love buying CDs. I've been buying CDs since high school when I first got my CD player. I'll never forget.
What was the first CD you bought? The
first CD I bought was U2, The Joshua Tree.
Well,
from Costco.
Figures.
Right? At the time it was called Price Club. And at the same time I bought that CD, I bought my CD player.
You did?
I did.
See, I think I'm one up on you, although I'm not sure, because the first CD that I ever had, the first CD I bought was a Best of Cream collection.
Okay.
However, the first CD that I was ever given was a B-Sides Def Leppard collection.
Oh.
And that was given to me by my friend Alfredo, and this was, again, back when we were in grade school, and I didn't even have a CD player at the time. So he's the one that indirectly started this disease that I have of purchasing music. But anyways...
So, before we change the subject...
Of course.
How many times have you quit and joined Columbia House?
Have I quit... You know what? I quit and joined Columbia House a few times.
Yeah.
And then I did some mathematics, and I realized that I was always falling into the trap of buying at least one CD more than I had to.
Oh.
The other problem with Columbia House is once you get to a certain point,
yep.
you have everything that they have.
That's true.
I mean, I have gone into there's a chain store here, big on CDs called HMV. I don't know how big they are right now, since most people here would go to one of the big electronic stores like Best Buy to purchase their music and DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
But for us here, I've gone into HMV and I've bought CDs of bands that I've never even heard of before.
Okay.
Just because, you know, they happen to be on sale and I checked them out. I mean, I discovered the Stone Roses that way. That's the example I bring up. I just bought it, and it was a greatest hits collection, 18 tracks of brilliance. It was just beautiful.
That's a blind buy.
Blind buy. Yeah. Just gone in and picked it up.
Yeah.
So that's where we're coming from on this. We want Climax Radio to become the arbiter of taste. We want to go out there and show the songs that we are featuring. We want to show a spike in sales. Because, I mean, obviously, we don't want to get sued. Now, we're not going to get sued for millions right off the bat. I'm sure at most we'll get a cease and desist letter from one of the artists that maybe we've pissed off. But again, we're playing this music because we like it, we enjoy it. We want you on your commutes, and I'm sure that Mr. Magnum can agree with this. We want you to put this song on your iPod. It's also available on iTunes, by the way.
That's right.
We want you to take this. We want you to take these songs, take the show, put it on your iPod, and enjoy it. Whether you're sitting on the train, sitting in traffic, go out, invest in a new car audio system where you have an audio in jack. Do yourself that favor.
Yep. Or lying next to your wife.
I'm not married yet, so I'll take Mr. Magnum's word on that.
All right. So, well, the good thing about the independent bands that aren't signed, I'm pretty sure they'd be more than happy to give us a song and let us play the heck out of it. And I'm pretty sure they'd want everyone out there to download and listen to their song and get noticed.
Exactly. Some bands have started it. I'm sure people are aware of a band called Neverending White Lights. They were the big MySpace band. They put their stuff up for free. It broke them. Now they're doing fantastic. If you give us your song, we will play it. We do not play commercials. We do not have sponsors because we want this to be purely about building a community. So we will take your song. And, of course, we're still going to play some commercial tracks that we like.
Of course.
We have thousands of songs to go through. So it will give you some legitimacy that you'll be played along with commercial artists. So when people go and download the show, when you tell people about the show to listen to your song on our program, they're going to be hearing you in the context of your soon-to-be musical peers, professional musicians. You cannot put a price on that.
Mm.
And that's why we're not. It's free to you.
Right. That's right. No commercials, 10 minutes to the hour.
No weather and traffic. No traffic bulletins that are completely wrong and get me yelling in the car in the morning. And no inane DJ banter talking about whatever Paris Hilton is doing. So this is purely about the music.
That's right. So I'm pumped. This is an exciting project.
Yes, exactly. I can't wait to see how long this goes before, like I said, we get that cease and desist letter.
And then, hopefully we would have grabbed the attention of enough indie bands to feed the however long the show goes.
Oh, exactly. I have no problem if we cannot play commercial music and this turns into a strict independent band show.
No problem.
Because, you know what, there are somewhere in the order of 4 million people that live in the Greater Toronto Area. There's 10 million people that live in the Golden Horseshoe Area of Ontario. There are millions and millions of people who can access this show through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It is breaking down social barriers the world over. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be on that cutting edge.
Yeah.
Climax Radio is the show for the new millennium.
That's right. And I know I'm always looking forward to new music because...
I love it.
Yeah. You know, you go into the store, it's like, okay, I got that. I know that. I know what's that about. You know, give me something I haven't heard yet. Someone that hasn't been heard yet.
Everyone goes through different moods. You can't sit and listen to one type of music the whole time. You will never know what you're going to hear on this show. It could be pop, it could be rock, it could be hip-hop, country.
Yeah.
I'm even thinking of interspersing some classical music into here. Whatever you do not hear on the radio, because I've had enough of Beyonce and Carrie Underwood and all those types of bands who get the media marketing machine behind them, and their songs are played into the ground.
Oh, yeah. And they suck.
I've had enough of it. So that is the manifesto for this show. You've listened to enough talk. Let's introduce the first song.
Yeah. Okay. So do you want to go ahead with the first track?
I can go ahead with the first song, yes. The first song that I'm going to put out there is by an artist called Robbie Williams off a CD, Rudebox. And by the way, let me also take this chance to mention that when you go to the website, climaxradioshow.com, you will see links to all of the songs that we have listed to retailers where you can purchase either the single and get some B-sides or the entire CD so that, again, you can go out, you can find this music, and you can purchase it. If you don't want to take a trip out to the store, when you're listening to the show, if you're at home, you're listening to it on your own computer, have a browser window ready, because you never know what you're going to hear, you never know what you're going to find, you never know what you're going to buy. So, first CD that we're going to talk about is called Rudebox, and the song is She's Madonna by Robbie Williams. Okay, Robbie Williams had some minor hits in North America with songs like Feel off of his Escapology CD, and of course he had the international hit Angels, which was poorly covered in North America by Jessica Simpson. That will not be played on this show. Now, Mr. Williams, he's phenomenal and a big star everywhere else in the world except for North America, which I guess makes him the human equivalent of soccer. Which
yeah.
could be,
yeah.
you know, it could be changing. But he's now based in Los Angeles, and he's hanging out with all of his entertainment friends. And Mr. Williams, he is the consummate entertainer. I've seen this guy twice in concert in the late 90s.
I was with you.
Yes, I believe I managed to...
Maybe for the first time.
I twisted your arm to come to the second show. He was playing at the Opera House.
I went to the Opera House.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so that was your second show.
Oh, yeah.
That was your second viewing. Yeah.
That was my second viewing, yes.
Oh!
He hasn't come back since, and I'm so happy that I went to see him those two
mm-hmm.
times.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be in a boy band, broke off, started his own solo career. So this song here, She's Madonna, it's actually a song that's in collaboration with the Pet Shop Boys, and it really shows off the range of Robbie Williams as a singer. It's catchy, and it's upbeat, but it deals with a secret longing for Madonna, the singer, of course, not the religious figure. It's the breaking up of a bad relationship for someone else, and I'm sure that anyone of a certain age has been through this in their own personal life, where the person they're with, you know, they're fine, it's just you hear the call coming from somewhere else, and you have to pick up. So I hope that when you sit down and you listen to this song, you can appreciate everything that's going on in it. The song is based on the movie director Guy Ritchie, who is the husband of Madonna, and a conversation that took place where he actually said, "I love you, baby, but she's Madonna," and that turned into the genesis of this song. So I hope that everyone enjoys the first ever song on Climax Radio. Here is She's Madonna by Robbie Williams off the CD Rudebox.
Stop calling me. You're a love. not what she means to me. I found myself by circumstance across a room where people dance, and quite by chance she danced right next to me. I love you, baby, the face said she is Madonna.
Plays the part of a drag queen singing to a lounge full of drag queens in Las Vegas. It looks very seedy, and I believe Alexis Arquette is in the video as well. So, you know, anything that she's in is just a train wreck you can't take your eyes off of.
I liked the track. Very mellow. Different. Like, I'm used to Robbie Williams, you know, from his earlier...
Let Me Entertain You.
Yeah.
Phase.
That's
yes,
like the King.
Yes.
His King track. So this
yes.
one, so it was nice to hear something slower. But I think I like him better in the faster tracks.
Exactly,
right? He's got energy.
Oh, when he tries to tone it down, you can almost feel like he's trying to break out.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially on the song I mentioned during the introduction to this particular track, mm-hmm. "Feel" from the Escapology CD. Mm-hmm. That song, it's very very tight. And it's got a driving beat behind it, but mm-hmm. you almost feel him wanting to break out.
Yes.
And I mean, that, you know, it goes back to the boy band roots, I guess. You can never really get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
This guy can sing everything. He even put out a CD called Swing When You're Winning.
Oh, I have that one, I think.
Exactly. And yeah. it's all American pop standards from the 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he does all the crooning. He does all the Sinatra and Martin mm-hmm. covers. I mean, the guy just has talent.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So maybe he never catches on here. That's not really my concern. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to have people exposed to him, and that's a song that you will not hear on the radio.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it was a good song. When you want to, you know, slow it down a little, mellow out, it's really good. All right, so we're going to move on to my track now. And the first track in my list is from Joe Satriani. Have you heard of Joe Satriani?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have?
I have, yes.
Where have you heard of him?
He put out some music videos in
okay.
the early 90s.
Okay.
And that was when you had the whole Clapton, Beck type
yeah.
of argument going on, and Joe Satriani's name came up quite a bit.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Does he have a song called The Sky Is Crying? Or is that
no, that's
Stevie Ray Vaughan?
That's Stevie.
Stevie Ray Vaughan,
yeah,
okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. But yes, I have heard of
you've heard his music?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
On the radio?
But, no.
See, I don't recall hearing Joe Satriani on the radio, because a lot of
no.
his stuff is instrumental.
I don't know if you remember, but well, there's a station here in the area called Q107, and they're the classic rock station.
Right.
And back when, well, back a while back, I won't say when, but
well, they, you can say when, just don't reference.
No,
it to you.
No, that's fine. They used to have a show called Overnight. And I really enjoyed that show, and that's where I can guarantee that I heard that song.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was fantastic. They didn't play any. They didn't play any commercials.
Right.
I simply put the radio on before I went to bed, and just let it play all night while I was sleeping. And I can guarantee that's where I heard some of the Saturated songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a while ago.
That was a while ago. Well, yeah. I've found a CD here. The album is called Time Machine. It's a great album. This, too, for me, was a blind buy, and I haven't regretted it. It's a two CD set. CD 1 is the album itself, and CD 2 is live tracks from shows, from various shows. So,
really?
Yeah, so he's got, like, on CD 2, it's live tracks from other albums, music from other albums.
Is it meant to be a greatest hits or best of CD?
No,
or is it just
I don't think so. It's not labeled as a greatest hit. I think he just slapped the live stuff on here.
Okay. So it's a true bonus disc.
I have no comment on that.
He almost made me spit my tea out.
I choose not to comment.
Okay.
I did not produce this album.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a great album. I haven't regretted. This is my first Joe Satriani CD that I purchased. It was released in 93. But I didn't buy it in 93 because I don't think I even owned a CD player in 93.
Gotcha.
Right? No, I didn't. I did not. So, let's move on to the track. I've chosen The Mighty Turtlehead.
A Mighty Turtlehead?
Yes.
Okay.
This is track 2.
I'll save my comment for my own show. Okay, let's hear this puppy.
Yeah.
And I see you have the actual CD with you.
I have the actual CD.
I'm going to check this out.
You check it out?
I shall peruse it while the song is playing.
Okay.
This is a mighty booklet here. Oh, very nice. Okay, I'm ready whenever you are.
All right. Great. So that was the Mighty Turtlehead. And do you want to comment first, or?
Well, Mr. Magnum, I have to say thank you for letting me hear this.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. And not only did I enjoy the song, which I found to be very uplifting, it sort of started in one place, mm-hmm. took you on a journey, left you someplace fantastic. The end of that song is just, it has you swelling up with emotion at the end.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to say, though, is about this particular song and the package that you brought, the entire CD,
yes.
Called, again, Time Machine. This is an example of what we are trying to get people to go out there and buy. Now, you will never hear the Mighty Turtlehead on radio because, number one, it's an instrumental. Number two, it's a fairly long instrumental at 5 minutes and 11 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You will not have that played. There are very few instrumentals that get played. You might get something from, you'll get Pink Floyd's Shine On You Crazy Diamond, which someone will play as an album side cut or something
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But something like this that we just heard will never be heard. You're only going to be exposed to it here on Climax Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I was thumbing through the booklet that came with the CD. Phenomenal. It's a full-color, multi-page booklet. If you buy this, you will not be disappointed. It gives you the people who worked on the music. Let's be honest here. Nowadays, it's not about the musicians in the band. There might be guys who stick out from bands. For instance, who's the lead singer of Coldplay?
Oh, what's his name? Chris?
Martin.
Right.
Okay. What's the name of the guitarist from Coldplay?
Don't know.
Now, that guy is phenomenal. The licks that he puts out, fantastic.
Right.
Nobody knows him, though.
Mm.
It's not like when we had bands where we knew the names of the people in the bands.
That's right, like AC/DC.
You know the names of all the Young Brothers, the singers, the dead ones and the living ones.
That's right, yeah.
You know this because of the history of the band. But nowadays, you don't get that. This booklet, like I said, is phenomenal. It has, I think it looks like it's about an 800 to 1,000 word essay where it goes through each song title and actually gives you a little bit of the history behind it. So, I believe it's called Joe Satriani Time Machine by Matt Reinsoff. I hope I'm saying that right. Reinsoff. That's the author of the essay that's in here. And I enjoy reading this stuff like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, you do. You love liner notes.
This stuff is fantastic. The Led Zeppelin box set that I bought, oh, fantastic.
The big one with the cornfield?
The big one with the cornfield and the small one, which was all the which was all the leftovers, as they call them. Which, you know, Zeppelin leftovers are still phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, that stuff there, I can sit and read through this like mad. Especially when you get some of the older artists, you pick up a Dylan box set and you can read through the liner notes on it. It's a history of pop music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nothing better. So, Mr. Magnum, I want to say thank you for that.
You're very
really
welcome.
I appreciate
that. I, like I said, love the CD. This song here, and you said the key word, journey. I can close my eyes and I can. This song is kind of like a driving song to me.
It certainly does sound that
okay.
way. It's got that cruising.
Yeah, exactly.
Motif, yes.
The beginning of the song, right at the beginning, the first few minutes, it's like you're pulling out, and then once it gets into the the guitar starts going, the rhythm starts going, you're coasting, right? This song should be on a video game.
It sounds like that.
You know?
A cruising USA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It just flows. This track is awesome. I love it. I can close my eyes and I can picture myself somewhere else. I can picture myself driving.
Exactly.
Driving somewhere. But just driving.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. That's my blurb on Joe Satriani's CD, Time Machine, and The Mighty Turtlehead.
Phenomenal first selection.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure to listen to. Now it's your turn.
Back to me. Now for this one here, again, I'm going to play you a song that you will never hear on the radio. And I think anyone who's listening to this show, hopefully, when they heard this next song, I can guarantee pretty much that they have heard it, they felt an instant connection to it. It's off a soundtrack. The movie is School of Rock.
Oh.
The song is called Teacher's Pet.
Hmm.
This is the song. that came from the movie with Jack Black playing a faux music teacher, taking a bunch of privileged, preppy children, turning them into a band, trying to win a battle of the bands. It's an excellent movie, and the mix of music and movie in this is spectacular. Those who like rock and roll music will hear this song, they will watch this film, and they will think that it is speaking directly to them. It takes everything that they like, the passion of rock and roll, and puts it on the screen. Now, as just an aside on the film, the kids in the film were musicians first and actors second. That was done as a conscious decision by the directors, producers of the film. And you can really tell that their uncertainty about learning rock and roll music, it comes through in their uncertainty in acting. So this film works on all levels. Classic rock songs up the wazoo in this film. The soundtrack, phenomenal. I cannot say enough about it. If you get a chance, go out and buy not only the soundtrack, but if you haven't seen the movie, you're missing out.
I haven't seen the movie, so I'm missing out.
You are missing out.
I'm going to find it.
You will love it, especially since you have musical talent. I don't. Okay? So I know that you will enjoy this even more than I could. You will enjoy it on levels that are hitherto unknown to me. So you are missing out. You are doing yourself a disservice by not seeing this film.
Okay, I'm going to hit Blockbuster, which is around the corner.
Yes.
And I will rent it.
Check it and rent it out.
So, all right, we're going to play the track.
This is School of Rock. This is from the School of Rock soundtrack called Teacher's Pet, Jack Black, and Kids.
Baby, we
perfect son, but y'all be rocking when I'm done.
So, tell me, Mr. Magnum, having not seen the film and having only that one small taste of the music that is contained within the film, what did you think?
The song was fantastic, and I'll tell you why. Because songs like this aren't being written today.
No, they are not.
Okay? You had classic rock elements in that song.
Guitar solo.
You had guitar. Loud guitars.
Loud guitar.
Guitars that stand out in front of the mix.
Yes.
Okay? Not in behind and, you know, down low where you don't hear them. I tell you, I wish I was in the producer's booth, okay, where I can say the guitar needs to be turned up.
Well, especially okay. If there's going to be a solo.
Yeah.
I think the
yeah.
only band that's actually doing that right now is Velvet Revolver.
Right.
On a popular
right.
stage because Slash is there and
Slash
he can, and
exactly.
he can do it.
Exactly.
But there's no one else doing that.
Those guys are from that school. Okay? Feedback. At the end of the song, the screaming, you know, this was a perfect song. People aren't writing this kind of music today.
And the children that he has singing, because that band is made up of all kids. We're talking grade 7 and 8 kids.
Yeah, this is what I'm impressed at. Go ahead.
At the most, the girls that are singing and doing the background vocals, that's another thing that's not happening because people are layering their own voice.
Yeah.
To the
yeah.
point where they can't even perform the song live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's all studio magic where your sound man almost becomes a member of the band when you
yep.
go live.
Mm-hmm.
It's something, I mean, you know, doing something live is still the ultimate arbiter for me
mm-hmm.
of as to whether I become a fan of yours or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And this, like you summed it up perfectly, they're not making music like this.
No, they're not. You can't, it's hard. I mean, you know, I heard something. I heard that when you're 40, you don't listen to anything else but the music you grew up with from high school.
I hope I don't turn
okay?
into that.
I hope I don't turn that, because you close yourself off in a box.
Yes.
You know, you don't hear the new stuff that's coming out, and that's what I want. I want new music. I want to listen to new music that's out there. But, I don't know, I guess I'm finding it hard to communicate with that music, to understand it, because it's just so different than what I listened to, you know, the past few years in high school, where, you know, it's like, oh, look at all this music. And you know, and I still think 90s music still rocked.
Now, I don't know about you, but I never got on the Nirvana bandwagon. And I think I was the only one. I just never liked that music. I never
yeah.
got it. There was some grunge stuff I did enjoy.
Okay, yeah.
Soundgarden.
They had a few. Yeah.
Good.
Definitely.
But a lot of the grunge music never really grabbed me.
Nirvana had a few tracks that I enjoyed.
Yeah. I mean, I can appreciate what they did in Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Definitely.
It certainly killed one genre of music, the hair metal, brought in something else.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is an iconic song, whether I like it or not.
Yeah.
You still have to respect it for what it is. But that's something that I never really got into. So I was exploring a lot of other things while the grunge movement was going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I hope that I carry that with me
mm-hmm.
through. Like you, it's a little bit difficult to get behind some of the bands now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a dirty little secret of the music industry is that they know that the bands that are out there now, a lot of the emo acts, a lot of the pop punk acts, they're just not that good. I mean, some places, it's institutional that they have to play only new music. So that's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if they had their druthers, they would play anything else.
Yeah.
But this is what they have to do. And you know what? That's an outlet that needs to be there, because you're going to find some songs that you like. There are some emo songs that are decent, right?
Emo.
But I can't sit down and listen to a whole CD from somebody.
No.
I just can't make it through.
No. Yeah.
The whole pop punk, I blame Blink 182 for starting this, which is sad because Blink 182, the individual members of that band, put out some amazing stuff.
Uh-huh.
One of the side projects is from one of the members is called Angels and Airwaves.
Okay, yeah.
Phenomenal stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds nothing like the preceding band.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
And you're right. The Angels and Airwaves.
Yes.
Know what? Blink 182?
Exactly. You would not know unless you saw the face behind the music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing stuff. But, yeah, that pop-punk stuff, I don't know. Again, it's just not really my cup of tea. I mean, there are some emo songs, I said, they're okay. The pop-punk stuff, I never really got behind it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm hoping that that's had its day, and it's moving out, and something new is coming in.
I hope so, too, but it has me worried. It has me worried, because I don't think, you know, it's going to... I just don't think it's going to be around us.
Well,
all this new stuff.
I'm just happy that you like Teacher's Pet.
I did.
Something new with Mr. Satriani today.
Yeah.
And that's what this show is all about.
Yeah.
Like I said, today we're focused pretty heavily on the rock and roll and the commercial. But if you are an independent band, get your music into us. We will put you on the show.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Okay, so I guess we're going to move on, right?
Yes.
My next track comes from a Canadian band, Junkhouse.
Oh, Junkhouse.
What do you think of Junkhouse?
I don't want to be prejudiced.
What?
I've never been a fan.
Really?
No, and I don't know if it's maybe just because I never heard the right song.
Maybe. I mean, go on.
Well, yeah, like I said, maybe it's because I've never heard the right song. I'm very weary when it comes to Canadian bands,
mm-hmm.
especially the ones that do get played on the radio, because a lot of it, I think, is Canadian content rules put down by the government.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you go back to the 70s, you look at the bands and individual artists that can still headline shows today,
mm-hmm.
such as Gordon Lightfoot,
yep.
Rush,
yep.
especially the Guess Who.
Yeah, oh yeah.
At one point, the Guess Who could lay legitimate claim to being the biggest band in the world.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
And they did all of that before Canadian content rules started. They had to fight for their place to be on the radio.
Yeah.
Now
I
think a lot of Canadian bands get a free pass. I'm looking at you, Tragically Hip. Go ahead.
I like to root for the Canadian bands because there's some out there that have talent.
Yes.
Right? And I wish them all the best. I want to see them in the spotlight. I want to see them successful, right?
Another reason why we're putting out the call to the indie bands.
Yeah, I want to see them, you know, not just, you know, sell out Canadian tour dates. Sell out in the States.
Exactly.
Sell out in Europe. You know, if anything, it just gives Canadian music a stronger... what word am I looking for here?
Legitimacy?
Yeah. That Canadian music rocks.
It can't all be Shania and Avril. I mean, as good as they are, you know, I mean, Shania Twain is not exactly my cup of tea, but she has some phenomenal songs.
Just from
a pure songwriting eye.
And she's cute, too.
Very. And Avril Lavigne, I mean, she is the face of Canadian music in the world now. She is the most recent face. There's no denying it.
She needs to grow up, though.
So,
Her look needs to grow up,
but I mean, you know what? She's 20 years old and married, so...
Yeah, but she's walking around like an 11-year-old.
Maybe that's done on purpose.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But tell me some more about Junkhouse and the name
Junkhouse,
of the
Junkhouse Royal Hamilton Band. I love them. They have some... they're no longer together, obviously. And the track I've chosen is called Fuzz, track number 5 off the album Fuzz. I chose this track because I found the greatest hit CD, and Fuzz wasn't on there, and I like Fuzz. And I guess I'll wait till after the song to tell you why. You know, no special reason, but I enjoy it.
No problem. Introduce it and cue it up.
All right. It's queued up right now. Fuzz. Okay.
Better brush my teeth. cats are all choking. Something on my chin. Wait for the bathroom, dear. You better eat that grin. Fuzz is bringing me down. Fuzz is filling my eyes. Fuzz is filling my day. Fuzz that won't go away. Fuzz
Fuzz.
I can see why they may not have put this on a greatest hits CD.
Okay.
Because it is a very slow song.
Very slow, yeah.
Very somber. Maybe not the type of song that you want to put on a greatest hits package. As a song on its own,
mm-hmm.
I got that old school country music vibe
mm-hmm.
from it.
Mm-hmm.
Slow and repetitive. And he started going into the story. He started giving you the flavor
mm-hmm.
of things, of his hometown. It sounded to me a lot like a hip-hop song,
mm-hmm.
where he starts going through his hood, talking about, you know, the fat policeman. it's a song that really comes out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see a lot of people, if this was played on the radio, it doesn't have that immediate hook that grabs you at the beginning.
Right.
You have to work to appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
And once you do, you really can get a lot out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why playlist managers would take this song off.
Yeah.
And that's why we put it on.
That's right. I enjoy the song. It's, like you said, it's slow, somber. That's why I like it. It's almost, would you say dark?
Yes, you need something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Of course, because...
You need something like this.
It's, you know, I mean, you listen to the music depending on what mood you're in.
That's right.
Right? So sometimes you're feeling, you know...
Not only depending on the mood you're in, but if you want to change that mood.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you're in a sad mood, you listen to a sad song, and
yeah.
you can actually get some comfort from that.
Exactly.
You don't want to be happy. Right? Like, you know, there's some times where I'm pissed off and I'm going to use this to get something done.
Right.
You need that. You need music like this.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So
what was it? The Elton John, Sad Song Say So Much? Do you remember that song?
Yeah, I do.
That was during his dark 80s period. I mean, a lot of people had dark 80s periods, but that guy had talent in the 70s.
Yeah, in the 70s.
Goodbye,
yeah.
Yellow Brick Road. Fantastic.
What else was that big one? Mr. Saturday Night? What's it called?
Oh, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting? Saturday Night?
No.
Are we talking about an Elton John song?
It's Elton John.
Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah. That's 70s, right?
Oh, yeah. That's 70s. I mean...
He rocked out on stage with that.
Which I don't understand. Some of his songs I don't get. If anyone out there is singing in front of their computer, look up Benny and the Jets. And
yeah.
It's the most retarded song I think I've ever heard. And then when you listen to people in the band talk about playing it, oh, live, it's just a huge rock song. Yeah, it fucking put the band to sleep.
It did.
Oh, jeez. Anyways.
Okay, so we're going to move on.
Thank you very much once again. That was...
Oh, I hope you enjoyed it.
Give people the title.
The title, the CD, Fuzz by Junkhouse, track number 5. The song was Fuzz.
So the title track.
That's the title track, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Since that song was a little bit slow, I'm going to change up my order. I know I gave it to you before the show while we were doing the prep, but I'm going to change it up just because we can. The song I'm going to play for you right now, it's short song. 2 minutes and 2 seconds. Maybe okay. 2 minutes and 4 seconds, I'm not sure. It's called Girlfriend in a Coma by The Smiths, and it's from the CD Strange Ways Here We Come.
Right.
Again, The Smiths, another band that you most likely will not hear on the radio. If you do hear them, once in a while, late at night, depending on the station you're listening to, you may hear a song called How Soon Is Now.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal guitar part in there by Johnny Marr. That song in the mid-80s was essentially the same as Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit in the early 90s. It changed everything for a lot of people. There's people of a certain age, when they hear that song, they know exactly where they were when they heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we're not going to play that one. We're going to play something else. Girlfriend in a Coma. Now, this one is an infectious, and I mean infectious, little pop song from The Smiths. The Smiths were a band, an enigma. That's where Morrissey came from, for those of you that don't know.
I don't.
Morrissey, that was his band, and The Smiths followed the career trajectory of millions of other English bands. They start off, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, then the media chews them up, spits them out, and 3 CDs later, they break apart. a greater crime against music I don't know of. This song, it's short, it's punchy, it's dripping with conjecture and ambiguous lyrics. Okay,
oh,
this is a fun 2 minutes and 2 seconds. Now, when you listen to it, you have to understand that Morrissey, as the vocalist, he doesn't really sing. I don't think he's a very good singer, but he croons like the 50s and the 40s. He croons the lyrics. And this is one of the best examples of Johnny Marr's jangly pop guitar sound. Now, any band that wants to release a debut single could learn from listening to Girlfriend in a Coma by The Smiths from the CD Strange Ways Here We Come.
Pull through. Do you really think she'll pull through?
So, tell me, Mr. Magnum, as your first exposure to the Smiths, what did you think?
Well, the band seemed very happy with the girlfriend in the coma.
Yes.
That's what I have to say.
Yes, there is some ambiguity there as to whether he really wants her to come out of that coma.
Yeah, yeah.
And who put her in that coma. And what he can do to her while she's in the coma.
Yeah, what he can do. Yes, it was a very poppy, very chippy song for the subject.
Yes, yes. And the Smiths were part of that whole movement where they were juxtaposing one against the other. Because, as I said before, Johnny Marr, he is really the king of that jangly pop guitar sound.
Right.
And Morrissey is simply a brooding animal when it comes to being serious. I mean, he was, maybe you can go back and call him the grandfather of emo. So, they are not an easy band to get into.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for every song that they have, like Girlfriend in a Coma, there's something off of, say, the Meat is Murder CD, which has songs that require intense effort to get into. There's also a lot of homosexuality in the songs, of course, obviously put in there by Morrissey. Some of it is veiled, some of it is extremely overt. But it doesn't take away from the music, lyrics, the songs as a whole. I think they stand up very well.
Right. I did like it. It was a change for me. I haven't, like I mentioned, and like you said, this is the first time listening to the Smiths. So I'm willing to listen to more of the Smiths.
Oh, yes.
Right? I'm willing to take a taste.
It's not everyone's cup of tea.
Right.
You don't have to like everything that we put out. I'm sure I'm going to play a song that Mr. Magnum will hate and vice versa.
That's right.
But,
that's right.
It just seems that as for now, like I said, this is all about experimenting and trying out new things.
That's right. So, like I said, I haven't heard anything, but I'm going to try and listen to some.
And
if I like it, it's great. If I don't like it, hey.
And all of the independent bands, like I said, You could do a hell of a lot worse than putting out an introductory single like Girlfriend in a Coma. Guaranteed. So which one are we doing next?
Okay.
Do we have one song left or two?
I have one song left. I've got one song left.
I have two.
Okay.
So how would you like to play the last few songs?
Do you want to go again?
What type of song do you have?
We're going big time commercial.
Big time commercial? Okay,
big
we'll
time
save
commercial.
That. Okay, we'll save that puppy till the end.
Okay.
Because my last two songs, they are commercial, but they're not big time.
Okay.
So if you wouldn't mind, I would like to do one more here.
Go ahead.
Okay, my penultimate selection is from a band called Keen. The CD is entitled Hopes and Fears. That's the first CD that they came out with. And the song is called Bed Shaped. Now, Bed Shaped is actually the last song on the CD. I think you'll appreciate this. In the ways we have of finding out about music, do you know how I found out about Keane? Have I ever told you that story?
No.
My mother was watching Ellen DeGeneres in the afternoon.
All right.
And I was strolling through the kitchen. And they said, we're going to have a new band on called Keane coming up after the break. Now, I don't watch the Ellen DeGeneres show. I don't think I ever will. But they said, oh, new band. And of course, this is a daytime talk show.
Right.
So usually it's at night with the big boys, with Leno and Letterman,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Conan O'Brien. That's where they have some really edgy bands on.
Yeah.
And, well, okay, it's, quarter to five in the afternoon, and they're going to be playing music from somebody. Okay, fine. So I sat down. I watched the band. They were phenomenal.
Oh.
I was a fan right then and there. This group is a three-piece from England. They have no guitar in the band.
Okay.
That was the thing that shocked me, first off.
Right.
They have drums. They have vocals. The vocalist also plays some accompanying keyboard, and they have a keyboard player.
Okay.
Phenomenal stuff. You would think it would sound like something was missing with no guitars.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they craft the songs together, awesome.
All right. I heard one Keane song, I think.
Which was?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
It's probably one that gets played all the time.
Okay. There's a song on the radio right now. It's called Everybody's Changing. That's also from the first CD.
Okay.
And the latest single that they have out, at least in my market, is called Is It Any Wonder? That's off the second CD. The band ran into a little bit of trouble. The singer went in for some substance abuse problems. But anyways, so they never really got the marketing behind the second CD.
Right.
However, this song here, I have to tell you, there's a little bit of a personal story behind it. I went to go see them in concert. This song is the last song on the CD. It's the last song that they played for the encore that they had.
Okay.
And this was at a very small venue, again, something akin to Roy Thomson Hall.
Oh, really?
So it was small. Everyone who was there was a major fan of the band, mm-hmm. because they came over and played just after the song and the CD were released here. So everyone who was there found a copy somewhere else, maybe downloaded it, and knew everything off by heart. So it was a massive sing-along
right.
for everyone.
Right.
I mean, they even knew the B-sides by heart, which was stunning. This particular concert came along at a time when I was going through a giant funk in my life. And my then-girlfriend bought tickets to this show. When this song was played at the end, they had a sort of orange and white light come from the stage and bathe the entire audience. It was so warm, so inviting. I got to tell you, that is one of the best feelings I've ever had at a concert, and that was something that I really needed at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's very slow. It has, I guess the best term for it would be rising action throughout the entire song. There's a choir that kicks in at the end. All I can say is I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
What do I know?
song is called Bedshaped, the band is Keen, and the CD is Hopes and Fears.
Wow. I loved it. I loved it. Started off slow, calming, and then it just opened up.
Rising action. That's the only word that I had to to describe it.
It was a fantastic song, and I'm going to thank you for bringing it here.
If the best thing you can do, pick up the CD, Hopes and Fears. It's pretty much entirely like that.
Yeah, gonna end up in my collection.
Did you miss the guitars?
I didn't miss them, no.
Did you notice that they were missing?
No.
Exactly, that's the same reaction I had, because I was waiting for there to be a guitar-shaped hole in the song.
Right.
And I did not
find one. No, the music was just full on its own.
Even when they do their more up-tempo songs,
right?
I'm not sure how they do it. And they're a very physical band, too.
Mm-hmm.
You would think with one guy behind the drums, one guy behind a keyboard, and one guy behind a microphone,
mm-hmm.
there wouldn't be much action.
Right.
But it is a physical show that they put on. They really give you the entire live experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is I'm going to look for this one for sure. It was awesome.
Excellent.
It's a good song.
Now, I think it's time to hit the mega commercial song.
This is super commercial.
And I can see the CD cover that you have. And now, I must tell you, before you decide to play this song, I actually tried to get in touch with the management of this particular band, because I wanted to use one of their songs as the official music for another project I have.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This is the project that's 90% done.
The project that's 90% done?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. I wanted to use a song from them.
Okay.
And of course, I was going to tell them, you know, I can't pay you, obviously, but I'm just a huge fan.
Yeah.
And I want your music to be the identity of my show.
Right. Well, and you're not making money off of it.
No.
So,
no.
You know.
I could not even find an address to speak to the management.
Apparently, really?
Apparently, they do not give their music out for anything. Now, when I say what they do give it out for, it's going to give away who the band is. But they gave their music for free to iPod.
Yeah, and I think the Special Olympics got a song too.
Did they?
I think so.
Okay, that's news to me. I did not know
that. No, you didn't know that?
I didn't know they gave
it. Special Olympics used it as their official theme song for a few years ago.
Okay, well, we're talking around it. I don't want to take away from you. Introduce...
Okay.
The band.
I'm going to tell you, the CD came from a Target store, because Target in
heavens.
The States, they were the only store selling this CD. I think they're B-sides.
B-sides?
Okay? They're B-sides, because none of these, except for a couple remixes,
mm-hmm.
three remixes, four, and then B-sides.
And B-sides.
Three B-sides.
Okay.
Yeah. The band, big commercial band, ready?
Yes, I'm
U2.
Ready.
U2.
U2.
Yes. For those, for our listeners in the States, if you hit a Target store a few years ago, we're talking 2002, they put out this special CD called Seven.
Okay.
For seven tracks.
Gotcha.
Okay. Great little CD. I got my hands on it because a friend of mine has a sister living in the States.
Okay.
I needed to get my hands on it. He was going to the States. I said, listen, can you pick this CD up for me? And he brought it back home. And great CD.
So this was only available
at
specific stores in the United States.
Yes, at a specific retailer
now,
in the States.
I'm looking at the cover photo, and I'm trying to place which of their mainstream CDs that would be to support. Which one did that come out after?
This came out after All That You Can't Leave Behind.
Okay. So, right? so it's fairly recent then.
It is. Well, it came out in 2002.
Okay.
So it's got a few years behind it.
Okay.
Right? The track I chose, funny track. Funny,
yes.
Funny title called Big Girls Are Best.
Okay.
I have to say
I'm a big U2 fan. I've never even...
You never heard of it. Okay, well, this is going to be a treat for you. I guess I'll just save why I loved it so much. And I'm just going to put it on right now. So
no problem. Give us a quick recap of
it. It's track number 3 off the 7... off the 7 album.
The Target Special.
U2.
mystical, also spiritual, not superficial. Yes, she's tropical. Yes, she's illogical. Those little girls are best. Big girls are the best.
See, you're anxious to say something.
Yes, I am. And I have to tell you, I'm a big U2 fan. Why they would not put a song like this on a commercially released CD, I don't know. It boggles my mind, because a band like U2, even their B-sides, are phenomenal. They don't sound like B-sides.
That's right.
They actually put the effort into recording them. They don't just whip off two or three in a weekend. They actually go through the whole effort.
Yeah.
To make the song sound good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't sound like this was thrown together haphazardly.
No, no. I think they go through the songs, they create songs, they go through the whole, like you said, the whole process, put effort into it. But then when it comes down to choosing songs for an album, they'll choose whatever, and then, you know, there's still good songs that don't make the cut.
Exactly. And they have never, at least to my knowledge, put out a B-sides collection. It would be, I mean, let's face facts. It's U2. They could put out anything and they would sell 7 or 8 million copies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what they put out.
Right.
But they have never gone out and done side projects as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
No one. Well, actually, sorry. There was one. The Clayton and Mullen, they did the Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible,
they
yes.
They did Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
But that was still Clayton and Mullen just on their own. And, and they went by their names, and you knew that they were from U2. It wasn't as if they created a whole other band persona.
Yeah, even in the video, the images on the monitors, I don't know if you remember the video.
It was U2. Exactly. It said U2 there. So for a song like this, I have to say, even while it was going on, I didn't even have to listen to it, and I knew that I was going to love it. I can honestly tell you. There's only one song U2 has ever put out that I dislike.
Oh,
that
tell
I've
me.
Heard. Bullet the Blue Sky.
You dislike?
Yes. See, and I'm in the super minority.
I think you're the only one.
I think I am, because that is a concert favorite.
It is.
It's just, and I just, that song, I don't like. I hate it. I can't stand it. I don't know what it is, but that is the one song they put out. And we went to see U2 on the Pop Mart tour.
Yeah,
their Discotheque CD is one of my favorites, not just of U2, but favorites of all time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have to say, when they played that one song, I was like, you know what? I knew that it was coming, so I just kind of grinned and bared it, because I could tell. I was looking around the audience. I was the only one who was just kind of, okay, I'm waiting for the next song. Everyone else was so into it, and that's the one song I just don't get. But in terms of Big Girls Are Best, phenomenal.
Yeah, it gets down, it gets dirty, and you know, it's got some power behind it.
Very much so.
I loved it. Now, I got to go back to Bullet the Blue Sky, because I'm going to tell you.
I knew. I was thinking.
You're not going to get away with
before this. Before I even said it, I knew that I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. I'm just going to say.
In the studio here, we're surrounded by U2 paraphernalia, because we are at Mr. Magnum's headquarters here, and I knew I should not have said it. But, okay, go ahead.
It's quick.
Okay.
It's quick.
Go ahead.
But only now, these past few months, Bullet the Blue Sky has gone up on the favorite list for me.
But why?
I don't know what it is. And it's actually the live version of Bullet the Blue Sky.
Well, yes, I mean that is a song that is everyone says it must be experienced live.
Oh man!
And like I said, it is a concert favorite. I don't think they can do a concert without playing that song.
And I think it's done best when Zoo TV and Pop Mart.
Yes.
That's where the song is like at its best.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but did they not also play it on the Vertigo tour? Because you went to go see that.
I did, and I'm trying to remember.
Because I remember seeing a DVD of a Vertigo concert.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that it was a lot of new music.
Yeah.
It was heavily skewed towards the Vertigo CD. It was not a greatest hits concert by any stretch of the imagination.
No, of course not.
This was not a Stones concert.
I was just going to say, this is not Rolling Stones.
This is not the Rolling Stones. They busted out the new music. And they let everyone know that they are still a creative force to be reckoned with.
That's right.
So I'm not sure if they went. I did not get a chance to go see the Vertigo tour. I know that you went. It was a little while ago. But I can almost guarantee that they played that song there. Even my favorite concert CD. Again, this is one of my favorite ones of all time, not just from a particular band. The U2 Live in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
That was done, yeah. That was done really well.
That was intimate, in the round. That particular DVD is the power of U2.
Especially at the beginning.
Oh! Even the lighting that they had. The lighting!
Yeah.
Where they took that from, I don't know, but it was... Okay. Well, U2 doesn't need us to help them sell records, so right. We're going to move on to the last song.
That's right. Moving on.
And for the final song on the inaugural Climax radio show broadcast, we are going to go way back. This is a very slow song, but it has elements of poetry in it that you simply do not hear today in mainstream music. This song is called Vincent, Starry Night. It's from Don McLean.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and the daffodils. Catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night, flaming flowers that brightly blaze, swirling clouds in violet haze, reflect in Vincent's eyes of china blue, colors changing hue. Morning fields of amber grain, weathered faces lined in pain, are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now, for they could not love you. But still your love was true. And when no hope was left in sight on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful starry, starry night. Portraits hung in empty halls, frameless heads on nameless walls, with eyes that watch the world and can't forget, like the strangers that you've met. The ragged men in ragged clothes, a silver thorn, a bloody rose, lie crushed and broken on the virgin snow. Now I think I know what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they're not listening still. Perhaps they never will.
Okay. Well, let me start off by saying that song for the last 4 minutes put me, just changed my mood completely. I was, I guess, what's the word? I was taken down. It got me sad.
There's a little bit of melancholy involved in that song, yes, since yes. It is about suicide.
Yeah.
But that song there, it's a song that you have to get to know and grow with. It is a song about the artist, Van Gogh, obviously. And you can hear a lot of the words that are used in the song. It is true poetry put to music, the best marriage of lyrics and music. Words such as China Blue, describing the paint color, ragged men in ragged clothes, crushed beneath the virgin snow. These are all elements of Van Gogh paintings. Now, I'm not an artist by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
My sister is.
Yes, very good one.
She does works primarily in paints, does a little bit of sculpting, but she was explaining to me about this song and telling me about the history of Van Gogh. He committed suicide. I'm not sure why, but the world, as it says in the song, was not ready for him. He was appreciated more after he died than when he was alive, which sadly is the case for a lot of artists.
Yeah, yeah.
As you listen to the song, though, yes, it is a song that helps. I would rather say, instead of bring you down, I would say it's a song that centers you. I pop this in every now and again when things are just too crazy, when things are hectic, when I have so many things on the go.
Mm-hmm.
This song really brings it down to brass tacks, and it's almost meditative in that sense.
Yeah.
I can fully appreciate what happened to you listening to it for the first go-round. But I guarantee you, this is going to be the song that, more than any other individual song that we've put on the first episode, this is going to be the song that people come back, that our listeners come back and listen to over and over again, for the first little bit anyway, until they go out and buy a Don McLean CD. I won't even give you the CD title because it's on every one of his greatest hits packages.
Oh.
But if you can find a CD with this song on it, grab it. You will not be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's another one on my list to add.
I think that brings us to the end of the first ever Climax Radio Show.
It does.
Tell me, Mr. Magnum, do you think that everything went okay today?
I think we had a good time in the studio here. The show went well. We brought forth some great music.
Yes. And, of course, it was highly commercial today. But as our last song demonstrates, we are dealing with the artists. So we want all the independents out there. Independent music, we want to feature it on this show. We want to intersperse it with other commercial artists that we think are not getting their due. So, if you are an independent artist, as I said, you can go to the website, climaxradioshow.com. You can get the information there. Or you can send it directly to one of us. Send us your band bio, send us a song that you want us to play. You can send it to me, radiofreeg@gmail.com, or
magnum@sureshotmedia.com.
Get us your information. I don't know about Mr. Magnum, but I am just going crazy waiting to do the next show.
Yes. Yes.
I had such a good time here in his studio today. Phenomenal. I'm waiting for your submissions, and then we are going to put out episode 2. And, you know, hopefully we don't get sued by then. We don't get the cease and desist order. But we want to showcase the new bands and the new artists, because that's what you are. You are artists. Whether you deal in music, paint, sculpture, any medium, you are an artist. You are in touch with what is new. and we want to hear it. I don't want to be, as Mr. Magnum said, 40 years old and pining away for the music I listened to in high school.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially definitely. Since I was in high school when grunge came out and I didn't like it. So I don't want to have to go back there and listen to that at all.
Oh, man.
Mr. Magnum, any final thoughts?
That's it. We're just waiting. We're waiting for the submissions to come in because we want to get started on the second episode of Climax Radio.
And there you have it. Another happy ending. Compliments of Climax Radio.
You've been listening to Climax Radio. Subscribe for free on iTunes and visit us on the web at climaxradioshow.com. Always a happy ending. Compliments of Climax Radio.